poor Sony. Last week, I talked about the Sony PlayStation Network hack, and this week, we're going to talk about the 2014 Sony Entertainment hack, an alleged hack from North Korea who demanded their new film, The Interview, mocking dictator Kim Jong-un by assassinating him in the movie, be withdrawn. How much was true? Well, we really don't know. I'm going to present the information we know for certain, as well as the popular consensus and alternatives. I will be covering the popular consensus more, though, as that is the most established theory. Alright, let's get right into it. In November of 2014, a hacker group identifying themselves as the Guardians of Peace threatened to leak confidential data from Sony. The Guardians of Peace also go by the Lazarus Group and the WhoIS team, and are a well-known cybercrime group made up of currently unknown members, supposedly linked to the North Korean state. Not much is known about them besides they are behind a few major incidents and possibly even WannaCry, which is my second episode that you should watch if you haven't watched. However, what they may be truly responsible for is over or under exaggerated, depending on who you ask. We currently don't know by the time of this recording, which is February 27th, 2022. We do know that the group is credited to this attack, as they did specifically identify themselves. It is possible that someone pushed the blame onto the Guardians of Peace, but this is pretty rare in cybercrime and hacking, because many hacking groups that announce themselves want the attention to be on themselves, and want to mock people. It's a sign of saying, you can't catch me, basically. The information around the timeline is foggy. An alleged member of the Guardians of Peace said they had been collecting data for years, and it is believed they had been copying for months from Sony Pictures servers. The method thought to have been used was a worm, or a malware that is able to replicate itself and spread across a network that was deployed over SMB, or Server Message Block. Server Message Block is a protocol that allows file sharing and sharing of devices like printers over a local network. So this makes complete sense as an exploit point. The worm contained a few different components. One of them was a backdoor, which allowed the group access to Sony servers once the worm got in, a wiper tool that would clear hard drives, and a tool that was used to try to cover up any trace of the attack. Which is weird, as they did announce the attack and it was very politically motivated, so it didn't seem like the kind of attack that the group would want to hide from the public or from Sony themselves, even. After months of collecting data, the aforementioned threat was given to Sony, along with some of the collected data as proof that they were not bluffing. Sony scrambled to make edits to the film, but those edits did not appease the Guardians of Peace, and when the film was released anyways, the information began to be leaked. Personal data of 47,000 Sony employees, including names, social security numbers, addresses, and financial information were leaked, as well as emails from Sony employees gossiping about the film industry, and even some unreleased Sony films. This included information on the upcoming Spider-Man film at the time, and even information on Charlie Sheen's HIV status were leaked, because apparently that was just in an unencrypted email at the time. The emails about the celebrity gossip were honestly really entertaining to go through. I'm not going to read all of them, but I'm sure you can find them yourself if you just look it up. Apparently Angelina Jolie is just a complete pain in the ass to work with, but you can find the full emails on WikiLeaks. Sony had already been embarrassed by one major hack, but in a way, this one was worse. It didn't take the PlayStation Network offline, but it did put thousands of employees in serious jeopardy, and more importantly for Sony, lost them money on leaked unreleased films and exposed many secret insider information going on at Sony Pictures. Sony spent $15 million to deal with the damages of this hack, hiring cybersecurity professionals, this time for the film division, to strengthen up security and hopefully make sure a similar attack like this would not happen again. Sony also got the FBI and a private security firm called FireEye to protect employees from identity theft, as well as repair damage done on the network. Though, you know, of course, they gave their own employees more time than a year to be protected, but, you know, our customers don't get the same luxury. The US government firmly believed North Korea was involved, due to known methods confirmed North Korean hackers used, as well as an IP traced to North Korea, and the fact that the same tools had recently just been used in an attack against South Korea by North Korea. North Korea, of course, denied these accusations, and some people believed it was not North Korea either. Some DEFCON, which is a cybersecurity and hacking convention, organizers believe that North Korea simply didn't have the infrastructure to pull off such a massive hack. One popular theory is that it was an inside job by a Sony employee, but FireEye, the security firm mentioned earlier, didn't find any evidence of this. Other common theories is that it was instead a Chinese or a Russian hacker group acting alone or on behalf of a Sony employee, again leading back to the insider job theory. Other security firms besides FireEye did investigate these claims and are pretty certain it was a North Korean job instead of random hacktivists or even an inside job. But some people believe this is possibly a cover-up to stir up more bad blood with North Korea. The fact that multiple independent firms confirmed this information makes me less and less likely to believe that it is some kind of weird elaborate cover-up, but you know, what do I know? Poor Sony requested the media to stop covering the hack and threatened legal action if media groups did not comply. But there's not much you can really do about sharing a story legally. I mean, it's the news, and Sony, if you see this, you probably won't sue me. See what happens. Sony even attempted to get Twitter to suspend users posting leaked material, and a subreddit called r/SonyGOP, which is not related to Republicans at all, it just shares pirated stuff, was distributing leaked material and ended up being banned in the aftermath of this attack. And there ends another PR and security nightmare for Sony, who really need to learn their lesson and should maybe focus a little more on security measures rather than on punishing the media for telling people about the attack. I guess punishing the pirates also makes sense. But in my personal opinion, censoring the media in regards to this attack is doing more harm than it is doing good. People deserve to know about cybersecurity breaches, even if it does not directly affect them. Sony's attempt to cover this up, of course, completely backfired as I'm doing a podcast about it, and it was also probably the biggest cybersecurity event that happened in all of 2014. Like, it was all over. People were memeing on it every day. People who weren't in cybersecurity were talking about it. It was everywhere. You couldn't escape this news. So Sony, instead of just trying to lawyer up whenever someone covers your cybersecurity failures, just implement better security. You can never be 100% secure, but you can do a lot better than how you're doing now. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Bite Size Cybercrime. My name is Chloe Tonis. I hope you enjoy the Sony saga, and until next time, stay secure.